I was working with 4 illustrators. The result was so-so. Nobody was very happy. And then my account director, just for fun, prompted Midjourney with 2 simple sentences. And she got the best result of all.
Sounds scary.
And we're like, fuck.
Welcome to Brand Matters Podcast, where we discuss with our guests on how to create strong and meaningful brands. Today, I have with me Davor Bruketa, the owner and founder of Bruketa & Ginich & Gray Agency, one of the most creative agencies that I know, and I'm really happy to have Davor. And the first question to you is, what is the secret behind your success?
We're doing fine for 20 years now. I'm quite happy with the result. And when we started as a design studio, I didn't even dream that this is going to end up like this. So our ambition at that time was to become cool designers, full stop. But during the time, we learned that we are interested in more stuff than just design. But still, design is our strongest capability. And this 28 years, we've been trying this and that. Among other things, we had the factory of underwear, which famously didn't succeed. First, we started as designers. Then we discovered the world of advertising. Then we thought, oh, we want to do that shit. If you are a cool designer, you will do posters for theaters or, you know, cool websites. Maybe if you are in advertising, you will be on every billboard in town saying something. And you have not only economical influence, but also cultural influence. At that time, we were very much interested in that and we still are. So we started to do advertising. Then we said, okay, we are an advertising agency, but we want to do more. We want to do branding. We want to do the whole thing. So we partnered with more skillful and more educated people than we were and developing all these skills during the time, and somehow it worked well.
For 13 years, you've been awarded every year as one of the best agencies, either independent agencies or regional agencies. You have multiple Effies. I know you've won some recent award. So what's the secret for you and your team to stay hot and be really demanded?
There's so many things that we didn't done in this business and that we want to succeed. There are so many things we want to try, and I believe as long as we still are hungry, you know, trying new things, and thanks to technology and other things, there is so many opportunities to try new things every day in this business. So I don't know, as long as we are interested in all this new stuff that is coming, and there is a holy grail of our business, and I think we are closer than ever to that, is talking to people one-on-one, remembering who these people are, what they want, and to have personalized communication from brand to the person, like you're talking to the guy from the local shop that knows you well. And we were so inefficient in the past with the technology that we had in market communications that with AI, generative AI, I think we are finally getting to something that we saw maybe 3 decades ago that is coming. But this development was so slow. I thought it's going to be much faster. It lasts almost all my career. Finally, we are getting there. And maybe when we get there, we'll just say, okay, this is it. Thank you. Goodbye. I'm going to retirement. Or not. And when we started this business, we were the first generation of designers that were using computers. It was the first half of the 90s. And I was in McCann in London for a student practice. And they didn't use computers at, you know, 1994. There was some computers, but in production department, the creatives didn't use computers at all. They were doing everything by hand, beautiful handwritten typographies and everything. And at that time, there was predictions of what is about to happen now. But I thought it's going to be much, much faster than it really happened. Now, finally, it's happening now, before my 50th birthday.
With the new rise of generative AI, how do you see the role of creative business and the role of human creativity?
Well, we did an experiment with one AI startup. We're developing brand character powered by AI. And we supposed to design the character, to create the character. And I was working with 4 illustrators. The result was so-so. Nobody was very happy. And then my account director, just for fun, prompted Midjourney with 2 simple sentences. And she got the best result of all.
Sounds scary.
And we're like, fuck. And then we thought, but okay, when you look at all the characters we developed, they look quite similar to something we have seen already. It's just normal because creators are always building on something that existed before, and gradually it gets changed. You can see that through art history, or we're always building on something. And then we said, okay, this thing that, that Midjourney created, but it still looks quite familiar. Maybe we can go one step further and build on what Midjourney did and change it and to make it more remarkable, more unique, more different from anything seen so far. So what I see now is that this is fantastic research tool that puts this data from the past together in very interesting combinations, but it's actually a quite fantastic foundation to build even more. So I think it's going to happen that we will have better foundations that we build on. Like, for example, in the 90s, before internet was what it is today, we used to travel to London every summer to buy design books to be up to date what is happening in design world. Then we got internet and it all has been accessible on push of a button, but still you have to go somewhere, you have to search, it takes some time. And before every design project we do, we search, we call it design index. And then we learn what other people did on that matter, and then we build on that. So the same thing what generative AI is doing at the moment, it does the same, and it's fantastic foundation to go even further than we could before. Now we went one step further and to do something even more interesting. So for now, I see that as great help, as a kind of super advanced search tool, analysis tool, and something to build on. You know, the thing is developing so fast. 1 year ago, we tried Midjourney and we concluded this is shit. Visuals that are completely useless. 1 year later, it's something completely different. So I don't know how this is going to develop, but for now, it's fantastic search tool to build more interesting ideas and visuals.
So if I try to summarize what you see right now, it's more a collaboration between the humans and the generative AI. And generative AI just speed up the process of generating different ideas on which later the creative people can evolve more. But at the same time, the speed of development of generative AI is so fast. And do you see any threat for smaller creative agencies or freelancers or design studios?
Well, I think there will be, as always, new technology. When photography was invented, you had this painter making portraits. They were not really quality portraits, but it was the best that existed before photography. And when photography was invented, these people probably didn't have their business model anymore. For good people, there will be always something to do. And maybe our task will change. Maybe the production will change a lot, I think, especially when we will use generative AI in video production. That will be a huge step forward. And we still have a lot of challenges with IPs and so on. I think the way we produce stuff is going to change a lot. Ideation process will be different, but on the end of the day, this knowledge will be much more accessible than before. You really can ask, you know, ChatGPT anything, and you can learn stuff much faster than before. It will change how we educate ourselves and how we approach to the different challenges. But I think that for the best people, the people who really think and invest in their capabilities, there will be always something to do. But we have to be fluent, we have to accept that things are changing and that we will have to change too. I'm not sure in which direction and how we are going to do that, but we saw so many changes in the past and people were always saying, oh, this is going to kill jobs. Now it's harder than ever to find people to do anything. In every aspect of life, there is no enough experts and people who know how to do stuff. So if you're open to learning and accept that change is inevitable, then there was always something to do.
Let's talk about people. I mean, your business, agency business, is very much people driven. How do you find, how do you keep, and how do you nurture the talents?
Just as with people, as with clients, very often people find us. And of course, we are sometimes searching for certain experts and so on, but the best people we have found us and stayed here mm-hmm. for a long time, because it's some kind of a chemistry and the common goal. You know, this is creative business, and it very much looks like a love affair, much more than a usual business. Sometimes our best clients and our best people found us just as we found them. And of course, that we are trying to balance private life and business life, and trying not to pretend that we are an agency from the 90s that works 24/7, as we did. But old habits die hard, at least for some people. There are two kind of people in this business: people who live this business and people who work to live. There is a core team of people who really live this business and enjoy this business and find self-actualization in this business and enjoy in the impact you have on all levels, not only commercial level, but cultural level, political influence. There's so many influences. When your voice is heard, there is so many influences in so many areas, from design, culture, politics, ecology, economy, all kind of influences. And if you're aware of that, then this job is so much more fun. If you just look at the commercial side of the business, of course, commercial side is hygiene and it's blood that makes it run. But there is so much more fun than that.
I love the definition of finding the best talents and the clients is a love affair. And I totally agree that there are two types of people that work the business and live the business. Yeah, especially when you find your people, then it's more fun and you don't really need to motivate because they just walk with you, with your direction. Let's talk about the client for a bit. And clients sometimes can be pain in the ass, and you guys and sometimes are too brave and too creative. How do you push your clients for risks and experiments?
To be honest, we also can be pain in the ass, not only the clients. We have to accept that sometimes we are pain in the ass and that we should behave and try to understand other people and what happened on the other side of the table, and to empathize the people that we work with on all sides, people on the client side, our suppliers, our colleagues in the room. We are all people with different needs, challenges, phases in life. And what we really learned in this 28 years, nobody is saying no because it's stupid and mean. Most people are intelligent and nice, and we just don't understand what's going on with these people, and that's mostly the problem if something doesn't work. Sometimes we are trying to empathize, and sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't. But this is really the game. This is a team play, and the team is much broader than your agency team. Team is everybody involved. And when you look at things like that, the nice things happen more often, because you're really trying to learn what other people around you in agency, on client side, suppliers, are, what they really need and how can you help. And then they also help you if you act like this. But sometimes you just don't get it. That happens too.
How do you guys measure creativity? Do you do any tests, or maybe clients do any tests, or it's more your kind of professional eye, your gut feel?
I really like to measure, but the question
how
is
do you
how
do that? Yeah.
We were working with Coke Europe for 8 years, and I was shocked when I realized that they're testing concepts through ads instead of all these complicated research tools like, you know, focus group and online research and quantitative, qualitative research, blah, blah, blah. We were testing concepts by doing ads, and this very simple, if your idea does not fit in an Instagram ad, then it's probably not the best idea. And if people are clicking on it, then I'm pretty sure that people who are clicking on your Instagram ad are not pretending or trying to become smart, like in a focus group, because nobody's watching them. And this is the most sincere reaction you can get on anything. And if the basic idea works on an Instagram ad, then it will work on all other more expensive media where you can then invest in production and developing all other tools that you need. For me, it was really eye-opener. I'm wrong so many times, so my professional eye is not the winning tool. So I really like to test and to see how people react on stuff.
This is an eye-opener for me. I just wanted to dig a little bit deeper on the concept testing through Instagram. Is it just all the static pictures or animatics, or is it like a small production through smartphone? How is the concept test through Instagram works?
We did it as a static picture. And usually it was the result of a design sprints. The last day of a sprint, we were doing these mock-ups as static pictures and tested them. And that was fantastic. That was so smart. And later I saw other companies are also doing that. And we are also trying to do that sometimes.
I definitely will implement that in my work as well. So, Davor, thank you so much for sharing this approach. Yeah, I'm also a big fan of testing. And as you said, my eyes are completely sometimes disastrous. And my problem is that I have a different cultural background. We even have one case in common with you that long time ago, one telecom brand imported Russian concept with mafia guys in Croatia, which we thought would be as appreciated as in Russia, but it failed completely because we didn't think about the cultural aspect and interpretation, how the mafia interpreted in Croatia versus Russia. So that was a very painful and very expensive mistake. We learned as the client, but then you as the agency helped us to fix it with creating a black sheep into a Croatian market. I completely relate to the testings.
And even if you have a cultural background, we are so biased, and it very much depends about actual state of mind and how we feel. And you know, there is so many things that can go wrong. Even if you don't have money for test, I go around and ask people what they think. People that I trust, people that don't have any side information about the project.
Yeah, love that. Let's go back to AI and talk a bit. You mentioned you do experiment with Midjourney. You mentioned that you work with ChatGPTs. Is there any other tools that you guys are already implementing? If so, what it is?
We are testing more than 10 AI tools in production, in doing content for social. Now there is a flood of different tools that we are now testing to see how they really work. But what we found the most useful at this moment is ChatGPT and Midjourney and DALL-E.
How do you use ChatGPT?
Well, we ask anything. From write me down the poem about this, or what would you do, from strategy to creating stuff. And it works really at the moment as a good foundation for real creativity.
If you would make a job title for ChatGPT, what would it be? Would it be the advisor, creative strategist, the CEO? How would you name the role of ChatGPT in your team?
Senior advisor. But not very reliable one.
But still senior, right? I like that. I like that analogy. What do you see as the future of advertising and marketing? And how do you guys, how Brook, Tejinich, and Gray will change itself or position itself to stay ahead of the curve?
It's really hard to say that the speed of the change is so fast. But what I'm really excited, as I said at the beginning, is developing this brand characters that are powered by AI that will be able to talk to people like this from a corner shop used to 100 years ago. And we'll know who these people are, what they want, what our previous conversation was with them. And finally, maybe we will get to the stage where we will not have to, or at least it will be in much smaller part of our business, to put these broad messages to everyone. I'm really looking forward to the time where I'm going to tell to my smart device, whatever this is going to be, hey, Adidas, do you have nice sneakers for me? And Adidas would say, but, you know, you broke your leg last summer. I hope you're not going to run. or, you know, you broke your knee. I hope you're not going to run. You should walk. Or so I give you, you know, sneakers for walking. And this conversation with brand will be much more intimate. And it felt much more personal. I hope that it will be available on all my smart devices. And when Adidas will going to show me sneakers for me based on my previous choices and my taste, and it will show it on the nearest smart screen around me without big hassle. And I will have just a small device on my wrist, not this TV set that I'm carrying around now. There will be so many screens around me that can, if I say, show me on the nearest screen, and it will show me in right size. And we will see. It sounds exciting. I have no idea what our job in this world will be. I believe that, for example, now we are training these characters. We are more like storytellers than classical advertisers here. And we are creating, we are playing God. We are creating a character that's human-like with all its human characteristics. It's very experimental at this phase. And we have really little clue how this is going to look like in a couple of years. But on the end of the day, there will always be packaging for oil and wine that some people have to sign.
I agree. Good point. Let's talk about the final part, the tips and tricks and advices to some younger people who might listen to us. So what advice would you give to someone who is just starting in the creative industry today?
Well, it's really hard to give smart advice. What I would do is, first of all, accept that things are changing and that change is inevitable and that you have to dive into it. I mean, you don't have to, but if you want to have a happy life, then just, you know, embrace it. The most important skill for the future is ability to learn and ability to adapt, as it always was in this world for all the species. But learning is really the key, because what is now is not going to be in a decade, not to mention in 100 years, what is the prediction, how long this generation is going to live. When I was young, I really hated school. And for me, learning was associated with some kind of a pain. And it took me a lot of time just to break that and to jump into the cold water with pleasure and enjoyment. And when you can do that, then it's fantastic. It's all fun. But if you block that and if you have hard time to learn, then it's not that fun. This really is fast changing world around you. But I think it's very, very important what everybody is saying, that you try to find something that excites you, because if this is not happening, then it can excite you on any level. And very often, because of our cultural background, we just don't do things that excite us. We do things that we were told that are right, which is the fantastic way to ruin your life. Wherever you find excitement, it can be something really socially unacceptable or culturally unacceptable, but don't lose that. You know, it will be much easier to learn and adapt if the end goal or the journey itself excites you
Sounds like advice for a happy life, not just for being a creative person. Yeah. How do you learn yourself, and where and how do you find inspirations?
I learned the best from interesting people. For me, that's really the greatest source of knowledge and excitement, because this knowledge comes with excitement in one pack. So it's really easier to swallow. I always had in my life, from as long as I can remember, people who around me, people who really motivated me and excited me with their excitement and ambitions. And these people changed my life, and somehow these people are entering my life when I need them the most. I'm reading books, of course, and listening to podcasts like this one and stuff like that. But on the end of the day, the most important things that I learned from fantastic people that entered my life somehow, for God knows what. I didn't plan that. Sometimes, because we are learned that something else is important, we miss these people in our lives.
Davor, I loved it. I very much can relate to that. And I also can say that I love learning from people. And today I actually learned so much from you. So thank you so much for your time, for your openness, and for your creativity, and for the way how you experiment and stay young, hungry, and foolish. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.